Chevrolet, Cadillac, Toyota, Scion. Four great brands in one convenient downtown location. Stay in the city and save at Grossinger City Autoplex during the final 2012 clearance event. Four floors of Chevys, Cadillacs, Toyota, Scions, and quality pre-owned vehicles at values you won't find anywhere else. 700 vehicles in all, and all indoors. Free valet parking. Grossinger City Autoplex on Fremont, just west of North and Clybourne. You gotta come see my guys at Grossinger. Visit GrossingerChicago.com. GrossingerChicago.com.
The following program, Uncommon Law, is sponsored by the Mueller Foundation and hosted by Kurt Mueller. In Chicago, for the last word on settlement, the Mueller Firm is the first name in divorce. The Mueller Firm, 312-467-6700. Since 1990, the Mueller Firm has concentrated its practice in hearings, trials, and appeals concerning divorce, child support, custody, visitation, paternity, palimony, adoption, guardianships, grandparents' visitation rights, and DCFS and juvenile court matters. If you're getting divorced, you need smart, tough lawyers. In Chicago, the Mueller Firm, 312-467-6700, serves Cook, Lake, DuPage, Will, Kane, and McHenry counties. If you've been troubled by problems with domestic relations, call Kurt Mueller and set up a consultation tomorrow. See why smart, tough lawyers at the Mueller Firm can help you keep what you've got or get what you deserve. And see why each year more and more Chicagoans agree. For the last word on settlement, the Mueller Firm is the first name in divorce. The Mueller Firm, 312-467-6700. That is 312-467-6700. Today, live from Chicago, America's epicenter of litigation, this is Uncommon Law with attorney Kurt Mueller. And for the next hour, information, entertainment, the Legal Eagle News, and the Airwaves number one forum for interactive legal advice and commentary. So if you've got uncommon questions, we've got uncommon answers. And now, your host, a smart, tough lawyer who just happens to be a decent human being as well, and the hardest working man on LaSalle Street, Kurt Mueller.
Don't you slip up or play the fool. Oh, no more, oh, no da. I'll be your golden boy. I will obey every golden rule. Get told by the teacher not to daydream. Told by my mom.
There's an old adage that you're supposed to spare the rod to spoil the child. Well, a lot of times sparing the rod is spoil the child, and sometimes we deal with the problem with spoiled children. Sometimes we have situations where the institution spoils the children, and as parents we leap to their defense because we never take sides against the family. And I always used to tell my daughter that if she killed somebody, I'd help her bury the body, because that's the way parents are supposed to be for their children. They stick by their kids. And you're going to stick by your kids, and we're going to stick by our listeners, because today, on November the 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2013. It's another installment of Uncommon Law, and I am your host, Kurt Muller, the hardest working man on LaSalle Street. I'm working so hard today that I'm working past some laryngitis. Cautionary tale. I was doing really good till I got that flu shot. Got a flu shot on Friday, knocked me on my rear end. Last Friday, to do a show, to the tape. And I would have called in sick today. I know my wife is a little bit upset with me for doing the show. But the reason I came is really out of a sense of duty to the listeners. And more importantly, a sense of responsibility to the show. We have been promising people for several weeks that we were going to have this guest on today. His name is Steve Glink. And good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Kurt, and good morning to all the listeners out there.
You know, you sound so good, you're going to make me pale by comparison here. Steve is an experienced radio and television personality, but the reason that people want to listen to what he has to say, the reason that he is so popular and so listened to, is because of what he talks about. If you're worried about your children being good, if you're worried about sparing the rod, spoiling the child, or spoiling the child, it may be because there are problems in the school that the child goes to. And every parent that listens to this show today, every parent, every aunt, every uncle, every grandfather, every grandmother has a child that somewhere along the line maybe be receiving some type of a treatment that's not entirely correct, that's not entirely fair. Maybe they think there's a discrimination. Maybe they think there's some short-sightedness. And on the other side of the coin, there are certainly a lot of educators, my mother having been one of them, who experience circumstances within the system that are frustrating to them, that are represent an impediment to the good education of children. Steve Glink talks about education law, school law, educational rights. And Steve Glink can be found at a website in Chicago and indeed across the United States, educationrights.com. And in his practice of school law for how many years, Steve?
This is my 33rd year.
And how many other fellows do you think do what you do?
Well, the school districts have a lot of lawyers, but the parents, the teachers, the staff, the kids, there's probably in the whole state of Illinois maybe six other lawyers that do what I do.
That's what I figured. And I know from my experience as a lawyer for the last close to 30 years, Steve is arguably the best of those lawyers and certainly the most widely acknowledged and widely recognized. So today, if you're going to have questions regarding your children, or if you're an educator and you have questions regarding school discipline, teacher employment issues, special education or special needs that are not being served for your child at a school, athletic eligibility, if you have questions concerning the Department of Children, Family Services and Defense, or criminal and juvenile defense proceedings, or civil rights claims within the schools, those are the main topics of information that we are going to be talking about today. And if you have any kind of questions, or you know somebody that has a question or a problem concerning the school district or the schools that they're involved with, or you're a teacher and you're having a problem, this is the show for you. And I'm telling you, wake the kids, phone the neighbors, get people on the phone today, get people on the radio today, because there's going to be discussion here and questions will be answered for you that you might not have known where to go or whom to speak with. Today we're with Stephen Glink and Kurt Muller's Uncommon Law in Chicago, 773-763-WCPT, 773-763-WCPT. Good morning, Dennis.
How you doing, Kurt?
I'm doing great, except for the fact that I can't talk.
Yeah. Hey, bless your heart for coming in, though, man.
Stopped at the Walgreens and got some Ricola. And when I say Ricola, everybody says the same thing, but I can't sing it.
Always a good choice.
Yeah, right. Let's talk. Let's just go right into this. Steve, how do you define school law? What How did you get into this category? How did you get into this type of practice?
Well, it was kind of interesting. I've always been a sort of a do-gooder type of a person, and I love Criminal Line. I was loving the fact that your show opens up with the Perry Mason theme, because as a young guy, that was one of my favorite shows. I still watch it on MeTV. Anyway, I first 9.5 years of my time as a lawyer, I worked in the Cook County Public Defender's Office, and one of my themes is to try to empower people that really don't have resources and that really need help. It's amazing, and I'm sure you know this too, how much difference we as lawyers can make in the lives of people. So I wanted to try to do everything I could to make sure that people were not treated unfairly merely because of the fact that they didn't have the resources as an O.J. Simpson, for example. After that, as you may know, and
because there's always been an argument that people in America with money get a better quality of justice than poor people. So a lot of people that are financially disadvantaged can't take us on a school board, can't take on a well-provided or well-resourced defendant. And that's really kind of where you come in, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
The school board has resources beyond belief. The school districts, the state.
Even though they're pissing and moaning that they have no money.
They always cry poor mouth, but that's just the nature of that beast. And, sometimes if they were a little more reasonable, they could save a lot of money. A lot of the cases that I see. A lot of times, for example, in special ed cases, they'll pay their law firm $40,000, $50,000 to defend a special education case, when all they really need to do is hire an aide for the child at $10 an hour.
Why do you see that? I mean, that's the typical thing. That's the Army paying $20,000 for a toilet seat, where they're going to spend thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to, delay something or engage in a litigation that could be easily remedied. Why do you think the school boards do that stuff?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. I think the main reason is ego. I think they don't want some parent or some parent's lawyer telling them how to run the school. I think a lot of times take a narrow focus of what are they legally obligated to do versus what would be morally correct thing to do. And what I always try to remind the schools when I deal with them is, listen, the parents, the kids, these are your constituents, these are your people, and you should try within reason to make them happy, and it's not about ego.
Well, the parents and the kids are our people, and that means that the people that are listening today are our people. And if you're our people, we want you to join us today, because we're talking about school law with Steve Klink here at Kurt Muller's Uncommon Law, 773-763-WCPT. And I don't generally care if people call or not, because they know they're listening. But I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not calling today, you're making a big mistake, because if there's questions, there's problems, this is the kind of stuff that you should be talking about. And this is the kind of stuff you should be talking about with Steve Klink. It's our children. It's our future. It's the educational system. It's the core of our civilization. And we have a man here today that's fighting every day to try and keep it straight. And that's Steve Klink. You join us here today, 773-763-WCPT. God bless you. We have a caller?
Yep, we got Judy in Park Ridge, who has a education question.
Here we go. Judy, Kurt Muller, Steve Klink, how you doing?
Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. Yes, I'm going to pull over here because I'm driving. But, what I was going to say...
Listen, you can keep driving. Just text us the question.
Well, it's not just one question. It seems like I'm just wondering if the school system has improved since when I had my son. It was determined after he was in first grade that he had to go to a private school. And it seems like the private schools always had their own agenda as to what they would offer. And sometimes the teachers were great, but the actual, like the aide that they would work with, they wouldn't understand his particular special need. And I don't know. It was just very disappointing. I had him in about 10 different schools. And some of them really believed in the corporal punishment, which I don't feel is right at all. And it was very distressful for me. It was very distressful for him, too. He left school when he was 17, and it's a shame because he could have stayed in until he was, you know, 21 or 22. So,
but the child
couldn't handle it anymore.
It sounds to me as if you were the mother of a child that has been categorized as a disciplinary problem at some point in his life.
Yeah, he was a shaken syndrome baby. Somebody shook him, and he was brain damaged. And so,
so it's a special needs case, special educational type of thing, no?
Well, it's your, yes, one of the categories under federal law. The law that is involved here is, the acronym is IDEA. It stands for the Individual Disabilities Education Act. And one of the categories of disabilities is TBI, traumatic brain injury. So, obviously without looking at any paperwork, but more than likely your son would have qualified for special education due to his impairment. Now, when you talk about private school, you know, I'm not sure if you're talking about private as in parochial school, but in the special ed world, there are private schools that operate where the public schools make placements, because oftentimes in the public schools, they cannot meet the educational needs of their students with disabilities. So yes, the law requires that the private school be paid for by the public school. The acronym there we use is FAPE, which stands for Free Appropriate Public Education. And every student with a disability is entitled to that.
So children that might not be able to have their needs met at a public school go to a private school that provides those specific type of services, and the parents are reimbursed for the tuition?
Actually, the schools get the private school gets paid directly by the school. There's a whole process that goes before a student is actually placed there, depending on you know, how the school goes. But first, there's an evaluation process. Then there's a meeting to discuss eligibility, whether the child is eligible for special ed, and then finally, there's the placement process where the parents and the school staff sit down and say, okay, we have a student here with traumatic brain injury or some other disability, and we cannot meet his needs in the public school. What is the next best appropriate placement for him? And the Illinois State Board of Education has a website. If you go to ISBE.com and log on to the Harrisburg Project, they have a listing of all the private alternative schools in this state and some in other states that are approved by ISBE, where students with various types of disabilities can be placed if the public school cannot meet their needs.
Yes. Well, that's what they had determined with my son. And unfortunately, we you know, he was difficult because he never wanted to leave home. And he was, you know, he'd go through a temper tantrum every day. And, you know, I worried about him all day long being at school. But a lot of these schools, they do have their own agendas, though, because they hire people that, you know, are just going to not handle it the way that, you know, that I feel that it should be handled. And it was more of a corporal punishment type of thing. And, you know, it was very difficult.
Yeah, I'm actually very surprised to hear that it it sounds like your son went to a therapeutic day school. In most of those schools, the staff is specially trained to deal with kids that have these types of temper tantrums or emotional outbursts. There's usually a lower student-to-teacher ratio. There's usually several social workers that are available at all times to the kids and the staff. They have generally special discipline rules, and a lot of them are taught what we call CPI, crisis prevention intervention techniques, when the kids do act up.
Well, Judy, I want to thank you for your time. And, you know, it's unfortunate that your child went through those types of things, and, you know, somewhere along the line, and you didn't hear from Steve earlier, but there's a lot of other parents today that are listening. We have some other people on the line now that have problems that are existing in the present tense, so we're going to go to them. But thank you for calling. We hope you keep listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Good luck.
Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of you are listening to this today, And I'm very aware that if you have children, nothing is more personal to us. Nothing is more dear to us. But a lot of people don't want to identify themselves. A lot of people are concerned that by saying their name on the air, they're going to publicize some or air some dirty laundry. That's not what this is about today. This is to help you. So we're not asking people to be identified on the air, but if you have a problem, if you have a question, if you have an observation concerning the educational system, we are here with one of the foremost educational school law lawyers in the state of Illinois. If you got questions about school discipline, teacher employment issues, special education, special needs, the athletic eligibility, DCFS defense, criminal or juvenile defense, or civil rights claims within schools, you want to talk to Steve Klink, and you want to do it today here at Kurt Muller's Uncommon Law, 773-763-WCPT. Dennis, I understand we have a caller on line two.
Yes, we do. It's John in Chicago.
Tell the professor we'll be with him shortly.
Yeah, exactly. Thank Just saw him call.
Hi, John.
Yes, hey, how are you?
I'm fine. We're here with Steve Klink. What can we do for you, sir?
Very good. I'm very happy that this subject has come up. I have a son who will be 3 on November 30th. He was diagnosed with autism spectrum with apraxia and developmental delay. And we have been going through very successfully with early intervention. He has 4 different therapists that are associated with the University of Chicago. We live in Hyde Park, which is on the south side. And so now early intervention is over, and so now it's time for him to go to school. So CPS offers some program, and he's a blended program. That's pretty important because he's a very high-functioning autistic kid, or in that spectrum anyway. And so he needs more interaction with regular children in order to help bring him out. Cognitively, he seems to be very fine, but in terms of the ability to get out what's in his brain is what the issue is. So his pediatrician is a Dr. Masal at the University of Chicago, and he suggested that we go to Barbara Vick, which is one of the better schools, and it's on, I think, 100 and something and Western.
Is that a magnet? Is that a magnet school?
You know, it's not a magnet school. It's a school for children who have, like, autistic spectrum or have other issues like that.
Okay.
And there are kids in Hyde Park who actually go there. So, and let me say this. We've been told by different people in CPS that there's a 6-mile limit in terms of where autistic children or children with special needs can go. But we have a daughter who goes to Leonard, which is a gifted center on 81st and LaSalle. We're trying to get just an ability to have our kid go to Barbara Vick, which is a few miles south of 81st and LaSalle, rather than having to go to 81st and LaSalle and then drive back to Pershing, which is where they sent him. And they have to be there at 7:45. The lady at CPS told us that she could call Pershing and tell them that we will be about 45 minutes to an hour late every day, and that would excuse them. But you would not get a contiguous time for his therapy at school. And so now we're basically at a crossroads in terms of sending our kids to a school that we feel is not quite up to par. It only rates a 2 on the CPS scale. And, you know, so that's the story so far. We're trying to figure out if there actually is a 6-mile limit or not a 6-mile limit, and why children with special needs would have a 6-mile limit imposed on them when normal learning kids can go anywhere in the city.
Can we answer that question for John, Steve?
Yes, yes, I can. John,
okay.
The federal regulation is not by miles, it's by time. It's 45 minutes in time for transportation. And by the way, if your son requires placement at this school, they have to provide the transportation, not you. And if you do provide transportation, you're eligible for reimbursement, mileage reimbursement.
Well, the thing is that I told the woman at CPS, I said, we're not asking for busing. We're not going to put a non-speaking autistic child on the bus. We're willing to drive. We're willing to drop our daughter off, which we do every day already, from 55th Street to 81st we go every day. And I was trying to tell her we're willing to drive, not put them on the bus, not ask for any compensation. We just want the best for our child, and we don't think that the school where they want to place him is that are those places.
All right, well, let me say this, too. Okay. One of the things that you said, I want to make sure you and all the other listeners out there understand. When you talk about wanting the best placement for your child, and I'm sure if you got into it with the CPS Special Services, the OSS, Office of Specialized Services, or their law department, this is what they'll tell you. The IDEA does not require the school districts to provide the best placement. What it requires is appropriate. Appropriate is defined in the law as providing a meaningful educational benefit to the child. What the judges often say in court is the kids are entitled to a Ford or a Chevy. They're not entitled to a Mercedes or a BMW. Now, that being said, like anything else in the law, the word appropriate is subject to a lot of interpretation. That's what we do as lawyers. We look at other cases and we try to interpret what did Congress mean when they said the kids are entitled to appropriate. And again, there's also a requirement in the federal special ed law called the least restrictive environment rule, which means to the extent as much as is possible, kids with impairments should be placed in the same class or educational setting as kids that do not have impairments. So when you talk about your situation, what you're talking about is what we call the social component. And the IDEA was revised in 2009, and Congress specifically emphasized that placements must have a functional, a social, and an educational. Prior to that, the focus was mostly on education. But Congress realized that the kids need socialization skills as well. So when you talk about the school that you want to place your son at, it sounds like what you're really talking about is the need for the social interaction component. And that's a valid point.
So, Steve, how should John go about trying to make sure his children can be accommodated with that?
Well, I think the first thing that you need to do is make sure that CPS understands, which sometimes it's very hard to convince them of anything. The 6-mile limit might be their internal rule, but that's not what the federal law says, and they're required to comply with the federal law. And the 5-minute rule, to be honest, you as a can say, I'll waive my right to...
Excuse me, John, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we have a bunch of other callers on the line, and we have to get to them. I want to just cut to the chase here. When John has a question like this, or John has a grievance like this, where's the proper place for him to do it, to take it, or how do you get started with something like that, Steve?
Okay, there's a couple things. Of course, you could hire a lawyer, but if you don't want
due process.
Okay, so that's due process for people that don't know what that is. That is the dispute resolution process that's required by law. It's like an arbitration. It's not with court and all that. But that's the next place. You can file your complaint with the Illinois State Board of Education, or you can file for a due process hearing. The way you do that is you send a certified letter to the superintendent of your school district. And I would urge everybody who's thinking about due process, go to the Illinois State Board website, because they do have forms and they do have instruction. But basically, you have to list what your complaint is and what resolution you're looking for. And then you file that. ISBE will appoint a hearing officer, which is like an arbitrator, and you can have your grievance heard.
And listen, John, if you have any more questions about that, maybe you'll want to talk to Steve directly, but we're going to have to go to some other callers, and we want to thank you very much for listening, and we hope we can help you more.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, John.
Ladies and gentlemen, these are the kind of questions, these are the kind of problems that people are having on a Sunday morning, these are the kind of problems that people have brought to themselves much prior to the Sunday, but today is a day that we're going to try and answer some of the questions, try to solve some of the problems. If you have questions concerning educational law, school discipline, teacher employment issues, special education, special needs, DCFS defense, criminal juvenile issues, Steve Klink is here, one of the finest school law lawyers in the state of Illinois, and we're here today to answer questions with you here on Kurt Muller's Uncommon Law. Now at 12:32, I know we have two callers waiting, and if you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, and I know you are because you're on hold and you can hear us, please stay with us because we're going to go to Professor Grosk. We're going to do the motoring segment, and then we'll get back your questions, and we're going to defer the commercials so we can answer these people's questions today. Let's get to George right now with our motoring segment.
It was a beautiful day, sun beat down. I heard the radio walk. I was driving.
Well, it's time for George. George, I hope that you're not slapping the kids in the back of the car while you're driving today.
No, I'm not. It's actually a pretty ominous day for driving in some areas.
It is ominous. You're absolutely right. We have Steve Klink here, and we're waiting with bated breath to hear what you have to tell us today about some safe driving on the roads. Because as our faithful listeners know, George Grosk is a professor at Northwestern University, teaches motoring safety. What's going on, George?
Well, hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I got some cases at Northwestern from time to time.
Oh, okay.
Don't you be suing the professor. I'll kick your ass.
No, no.
Yeah. All right.
No, he sounds like he's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
I only go after the bad guys.
You know, since car sales are setting record paces right now, people are buying new automobiles fervor. Sometimes they may wonder, am I truly getting the best deal? So I just have a couple ideas for people. You know, a lot of car purchases are preliminarily researched now online, many even bought online. So you've got websites like Kelley Blue Book, Edmunds, Car Connection, CarMax is an excellent one. And 87% of people actually use some type of device before they purchase this car. But, you know, what happens is every vehicle has an emotional attachment to it. So once you're going to the dealership, you're better armed with the facts if you do research online.
However, excuse me, Professor, there's a lot of noise in the background. What is that?
Pardon?
There's a lot of noise in the background there.
Yes, I mean, I happen to be in an outdoor facility.
Oh, okay. And, okay.
Because, you know, I have to help my daughter out a little bit here.
All right, we're fine.
So I just wanted to point out the fact that you've got all these wonderful things going on, but you can't forget about the safety issues of cars because you've got websites like safecar.gov. And the Illinois Institute for Highway Safety is another great one because they give you all the latest information and about, you know, frontal crashes, side crashes, the durability of the roof, which we've talked about in the past before. So you want to look for the maximum amount of airbags. You want to make sure that you have as many options that are safety-oriented that work for you. And as of 2012, every single vehicle has to have an electronic stability control system with it. But then you have to ask yourself a question. Do I need to spend the extra $1,500 for a backup camera? You know, do I need parking assist? Do I need adaptive cruise control? Some of these items come with cars. So the whole point is you just want to make sure before purchasing it, you look at your lifestyle, you look at your driving habits, and who's driving the car, whether it's you, your wife, if you have teenagers, and then you decide on the safety features that are available to you, because many vehicles now, regardless of price, have a variety of features that used to be available only on the luxury vehicles.
And we see that a lot.
In closing, don't forget the National Highway Safety Traffic Association, the safecar.gov. is a super site that'll help you with your purchasing. This way you'll get the most bang for your buck as well as the most bang for the safety features in your vehicle.
Professor, thank you very much. We're going to let you go because we got a bunch of people on the line. But, George, thank you.
So long, thank Professor.
Bye, Stephen. It's a super show. I know people have a lot of interest in what you're saying, which is great.
Great. Alrighty. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Professor George Grosk from Northwestern University, and we have a couple of other callers that are here to talk about school law, school rights, teachers' rights, student rights, and the various problems that are associated in the educational process. We're addressing those problems this morning with attorney Stephen Klink. How will we take caller number one?
All right, this is Heather.
Heather.
Hi, this is Heather.
Hi,
hello, Heather.
Hi, my question is, I have two different questions. My first one is specific to 504 plans. I have three children with ADHD, one is ODD and one is also ASD. And one of the very, very common things I hear in my very small school district out here in rural Illinois, I hear from a lot of other parents that they are hearing the same things, and I'm looking for some great responses to these comments. So one of the first ones I hear every time I go into a 504 and ask for a specific accommodation is, well, we can't have teachers doing this for every child. Do you know what a teacher's day would look like if they had to do this for every child? And I hear that every single time. The other thing that I hear constantly is, oh, well, we can't do this accommodation because your child is next going into the fifth grade, and in fifth grade he will be expected to do X. Therefore, we can't help him this year because he has to be ready for next year.
Okay.
So those are the two things that I would love to have some better responses for.
Okay, relative easy to answer. First of all, when they tell you, I can't do this for your child because we can't do it for every child, that's a complete false statement. Accommodations have to be made under 504 as needed for that particular child. And the truth of it is, if your child is mainstreamed, they don't have to do accommodations for kids without a 504 plan. So that's a complete false statement. The other one is also false. When they say we cannot provide an accommodation this year because next year your child will have to be expected to know X, Y, or Z, I always tell them about it. Great, we'll worry about that next year. Right now, this is what the child needs to assist them with his education, and they have to provide it at that time. Next year, you can look at next year and see if the needs have changed. And one thing I want to make sure people understand is, you've mentioned something here, a 504 plan. That's a very specific legal document. What I want people to understand is, a 504 plan is an accommodation plan under Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. It doesn't really require the school to do too much other than provide these accommodations. And accommodations must be reasonable. Reasonable is generally defined as something that is not unduly burdensome to the school. Common examples of accommodations are preferential seating. In other words, the child moves to the front. Maybe they have a note taker. Maybe they have an assistive technology device. Maybe verbal cueing. Those are very extended time for homework or tests. Those are common accommodations. It doesn't cost the school a dime to do that. As opposed to an IEP, which some of the previous callers talked about, an IEP stands for Individualized Education Plan. And that's really like a learning contract that you would have under the IDEA.
Okay. Yep. Does it answer some of your questions for you today, Heather?
It did, and then I had a completely second question, if I have time for that.
If it's a short one, because we have some other people waiting. Go ahead, honey.
I'll say it quick, and then I will just go ahead and get off the air and listen. I have children with, as I already told you, what their issues are. And these children, like mine, are overrepresented in our juvenile justice system.
Yes.
One in 88 is diagnosed with ASD currently, and they are 7 times more likely to have interactions with law enforcement. So my question is, what rights do these kids have in our criminal justice system and juvenile justice system? And what can we do to change the laws so that these kids are more fairly treated? And I will go ahead and take that question off the air.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
These are great questions.
She's a smart girl.
The change of the law, fortunately or unfortunately, has to come through the legislature. So that's the only way you can change the law. When you talk about rights that juveniles have in the so-called criminal justice system, juvenile court is a separate entity. There's two divisions in juvenile court. One is the Child Protection Division, which deals with abuse and neglect cases. The other is the juvenile justice system, which deals with basically what we would commonly call criminal cases in an adult system. As a general rule, I think part of the problem is to educate the police and the community that a lot of times the child's disabilities cause or play a substantial and direct role in their conduct. The special ed law recognizes this. In schools, before a student can be expelled, the school is required to conduct what we call a manifestation determination review hearing. And if the IEP team or the 504 team determines that the conduct was caused by or by the disability or the disability played a direct and substantial role, they cannot expel the student. I think a lot of times if the police, the prosecutors, and even the judges were more aware of how these disabilities cause the behaviors at issue, you might have a different experience when you got to juvenile court. As a lawyer, that's my job, to make sure once they're arrested, obviously I can't stop that, but I can certainly work with the prosecutor or the judge and try and make sure that's understood.
And as lawyers, our job today is to try to give you the best information possible, and that's why we're here today with Stephen Glink talking about school law, school discipline, teacher employment issues, civil rights issues, DCFS, and criminal juvenile defense. If you have any questions, we're here at WCPT 773-763 WCPT, and if you're listening right now, we're talking to attorney Stephen Glink, G-L-I-N-K. If you want to get a hold of Stephen during the week, his number is 847-480-7749, and you can pick up his website at educationrights.com. We'll be giving that information again at the end of the show. And we have another caller. If we can go to line three, please.
This is Dorothy.
Dorothy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Dorothy.
Hello. I homeschooled for 30 years. I get phone calls referred to me mostly by the state board, but also school superintendents and so forth. I'd like to give the website for people who want information about homeschool law. It is illinoishouse.org, and it tells you how to take your child out of school legally if you want to, and gives a lot of resources for people who want to do that. And we also have an advocate who deals with people who have kids with special needs. About 2% of the school-age population is homeschooled now, which is not a whole lot of people, and it doesn't look to me like it's going to be, contrary to popular belief. But if Mr. Glink needs more information about homeschool law, I'm happy to consult with him. I can call him offline.
Well, definitely feel free to call me or send me an email. I will say this. A lot of the cases that I have, once the parent makes the election for homeschool, which, again, that's a parental choice. If the
right.
parent feels that that's what they need, that best for their child, I fully support that. But the schools have virtually no legal obligation to the child once you decide to homeschool your child. So if you have special needs.
They have the obligation to give the same services they would give any other non-public school student.
Well, Dorothy, I want to thank you for taking the time to wait online and share that information with us. And certainly you can get back with Steve or you can get back with us anytime. You always have a friend here at Uncommon Law. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get a hold of Steve Glink, again, you can reach him at 847-480-7749 or at educationrights.com. We'll be giving that address and information out again at the end of the show. But we got to go to a break before we do. We're going to say hi to some people like we always do. In New York, Charlie Eshelman. In Hollywood, California, T. Scott Plaganoff. Down in Indiana, Sam Mary Military. In Chicago, Linda Pigovsky, Peggy Jester, Frank Kang, Kathy Stratton, John Regas, Ed Camille Pearl, and Amelia, of course. Tom and Karen Cabot, Guy and Kathy Stringer, Faith Lason, Al and Linda Goodsett, Jackie Perkins, Marion Kane, Dave Lupke. Dave Lupke is the head of the Beloit School District. He listens to us every Sunday. Raul Vega, Mike Hyman, Mike Ziering, Jeff Brand, Al Masters, Abe Seltoon, Monica Wood, Judy Hill, Mickey Hill, Maisie Harris, Ray Kushaba, Bonnie Simek, Ann Ward, Kenny Calvin sent me a nice letter this week. Hi, Kenny. Dave Schechter, Chris and Palatine, Steve in the Gold Coast, Benita and Skokie, and Mandy Wernowitz, and Keith Morissette. And also want to acknowledge we went to the LM Bistro last night at 111 West Huron in Chicago. Fantastic, fantastic place to go. Those are some of the people, places, and things we're talking about, and we're going to be talking about some more of it right after this break, hopefully with you.
Dr. Kevin J. Reagan.
Chiropractor and acupuncturist, Chicago, Illinois.
Dr. Kevin J. Reagan.
And staff works to treat the whole person.
Dr. Reagan
is sought out by those in acute and chronic pain associated with spinal, muscle, tendon, and ligament injuries.
Dr. Reagan
works with associated symptoms of headaches, sciatica, and various pinched nerves.
Dr. Reagan
offers therapy to address stress, detox, fibromyalgia, type 2 diabetes, weight issues, and addictions. And
Dr. Reagan
offers traditional acupuncture to balance the flow of chi in all 12 major meridians.
DrKevin.com.
Visit our website for online videos of our care, hours, prices, and accepted insurance.
DrKevin.com.
And call
Dr. Kevin
today for greater health at 312-876-1600. That is 312-876-1600.
You could go to a different restaurant every night, and you can spend a fortune trying to find an intimate place that combines innovation, quality, and excitement with sensibility. But you won't find a better dining experience than La Madia. La Madia, a new class of restaurant in Chicago's vibrant River North. The modern interpretation of an ancient Italian concept, La Madia melds a welcoming atmosphere with knowledgeable service. Market fresh ingredients with a gourmet's appreciation for the contemporary taste. And an upscale ambiance and wine cellar at a price point that can let you make every night an occasion. And join Club La Madia to get regular information about Chef Jonathan Fox's cooking classes, chef's tables, wine features, and other great events. La Madia is located at 59 West Grand Avenue in Chicago's River North, just off the Kennedy at Ohio. Visit DineLaMadia.com and make your next reservations at La Madia, 312-329-0400.
When you want to buy a watch, you got to make time for Howard Frum Jewelers. Howard Frum Jewelers features fine jewelry, diamonds, and vintage and modern wristwatches by makers such as Rolex, Cartier, Panerai, Omega, Baume and Mercier, Corum, Patek Philippe, Breitling, Frank Muller, Ebel, Concord, Vacheron, Constantin, Bulgari, Piaget, Rado, Movado, Audemars Piguet, and Tag Heuer. Howard Frum Jewelers offers repairs, restorations, and appraisals on estate and antique timepieces for that second time around. And if you have fine jewelry or watches to sell, trade, or place on consignment, let Howard Frum Jewelers turn your time into money. See Howard Frum Jewelers, where your time is never wasted. Howard Frum Jewelers at 5 South Wabash, Suite 814, the Maulers Building on Jewelers Row in Chicago. Time is on your side at Howard Frum Jewelers. For a good time, call Howard at 312-332-5999. If you want to buy a watch, it's Howard Frum Jewelers, 312-332-5999. And at howardfrum.com.
Wow.
That's right. We're hot for teacher today, and teacher should be hot because Steve Glink is talking about him today here on Uncommon Law. And if you got a question, 773-763-WCPT with Stephen Glink. And you can find Stephen at educationrights.com on or off the air anytime. We got a couple minutes. Let's just do a little legal. Eagle News. And in the news from this week's headlines, the Illinois Appellate Court says it will hear arguments next month on granting a new trial to former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Yeah, maybe the third time he won't be found guilty. He's been found guilty twice. You know, Jesus, what are they doing?
He'll be found guilty again.
You
too,
betcha.
Don't worry.
Former Bears player Sam Hurd pleaded guilty this week to one count of conspiracy to possess and distribute cocaine and was sentenced Wednesday to 15 years in prison. And though he may be going into prison as a tight end, goodness knows after 15 years, he'll probably be coming out as a wide receiver. And a coyote attacks a small boy on the city's west side this week. At least one cougar attacked a big boy on the city's Gold Coast last night. And Toys R Us and Target join Macy's, JCPenney, Walmart, and Kmart to announce business hours on Thanksgiving Day this year. And while they're at it, they might as well stay open on Christmas Day, too, because it doesn't seem like they're going to have much of that either. And Walmart and McDonald's Corporation officially encourage their underpaid employees to apply for public aid as a supplement to their poor wages, which seems to me to be fair, because without such assistance, the employees at Walmart and Kmart couldn't eat at Kmart or shop at Walgreens. And the two cases of Legionnaire's disease was traced to hot tub in DuPage County this week, which practically speaking is the least of a lot of bad things that could happen in a hot tub in any county. A Florida bid to repeal the Stand Your Ground law failed this week. And now that George Zimmerman has gotten his gun back and his wife's Domestic Violence Act was charged, was dropped, I'm telling you, girl, you watch your step when you're standing in line in Orlando. And in the sports this week, President Obama welcomed the Chicago Blackhawks to the White House last week because he just wanted to see anybody that had a better season than he has. And I'm Kurt Muller. That's news to me. Do we have a caller? We don't have a caller.
We do have a caller. She just wouldn't say her name here, so we're just going to throw her on the air.
Let's get her on the air. Hi. We're here. You got a question for Steve Glink?
Hello.
Hi.
My name's Elaine. My son had autism. Well, he has autism, but he's no longer at CPS. He's aged out, and we were so happy the day we didn't have to deal with CPS. But the reason I'm calling is that there are so many computer programs that can help children with many different disabilities, and I think we should be more organized so kids could get these programs in the schools instead of parents trying to run around and find them. I think we could do things a lot in a lot more consistent way.
Okay.
And I guess also, I think also our medical community is maybe not stepping up as much as it should, expecting the schools to do more therapy than they're able to, and so they don't have to do it or pay for it. And I guess as far as high schools, when my son was looking for high schools, we couldn't find one in CPS that was suitable, that had enough support. And I guess my last point is there's some very good Catholic schools out there that we looked at, but they did not have the supports someone with a disability would need, and I really think that's a shame.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for the observations, and we appreciate that. We're going to get to another caller we have in line, too. You have a good day, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
I think we have time for one more caller. You know, like I said before you came on, there's a lot of people who have problems, but you know that. You hear it every day.
Right. To be honest, I get emails literally from all over the country on all these topics that I handle. So people that are listening, I hope it'll make you feel a little better, but you're not alone out there. I get literally from all over the country emails.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're not alone with Uncommon Law on the air and with Steve Glink. And if you need to get a hold of Steve Glink after we're off the air, again, you can reach him at 847-480-7749 and at educationrights.com. We have one last caller.
Yeah, we do have one last caller. And just to let everybody know, there's a tornado warning, Southern Cook County along the 180 corridor. Just throw that out
there. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay, this is Keith.
Keith. Keith.
Just wanted to say get better.
Thank you. Is that it?
Just about.
Oh, well, thank
you. We got a court case to work on.
Thank you. Well, and we will. I know this is. Thank you so much, my friend.
That
you
was a humanitarian call.
Nah, he's a good boy. Ladies, listen, it's almost the end of the show. Can you give any general advice to people that are listening? If they have a question, if they have a problem, if they, you know, don't know where to go, what to do, what's the first place they should start at?
All right. Well, first thing I would want to tell parents is I think one of the sad things for me is when people get a hold of me after the fact and it's too late. What I really want parents to know is the schools do have a lot of power, but everything they say, everything they do is not always right. And the kids have rights and the parents have rights. So certainly I will answer any and all emails that I get. So, you know, one thing is if you're not sure, you can send me an email, you can call me. I'll do the best I can to give you the information. And generally, there's no charge for the initial phone call or the email. But if you're not sure, call ISBE in Springfield.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend and colleague, Stephen Glick. And again, you can reach Steve at 847-480-7749 or at educationrights.com. And, of course, you can always reach us at Mullaw, M-U-L-L-A-W.com. In Chicago, that is about the end of our show for today. We will be back next week, and we're going to have an author on. We're going to have the famous author. We're going to have the famous movie star, Seika. Are you familiar with her work, Steve?
You know what? Funny coincidence. My first felony assignment at 26 in California was in front of Judge Jim Bailey, James Bailey.
Good friends with Seika.
Very good. Whoa, she came to a couple of court events.
I don't think we're going to be doing anything felonious, but Seika will be with us next week. Then, ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime, in between time, you got questions, you got problems, things are coming down all over you. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. You don't know nothing. Well, call your cop. Call a cop. Call your mom. Call your priest. But Jesus, when all else fails, good God, call a lawyer. See you next week.
Thanks, Kurt. Radio.